If you'll have the Word of God open in front of you at Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Take heart, for I have faith in God. We continue with Paul in the book of Acts this evening, and we've come to this 27th chapter. Paul has been through three trials in the previous 2 years. He's done nothing deserving imprisonment, but he has appealed to Caesar, and so to Caesar he must go. And this journey will involve a long sea voyage. Setting sail from Caesarea, they will sail across the Mediterranean Sea, eventually landing in Italy at a port called Puteoli, and then progressing on foot up the centre to the empire's capital, the great city of Rome. It's a journey that would have been very expensive to make, but the Roman Empire was going to pay Paul's way because he was their prisoner. Long sea voyages have often been the context of great stories of the past. Perhaps some of you have read Moby Dick, or Treasure Island, or a more recent book, The Life of Pi, or maybe even a very old Greek novel, Homer's Odyssey. There's something about journeys and voyages that grabs our attention, especially when they're fraught with difficulties and incidents that we would normally never experience. And so Paul's journey to Rome could fall into that category. But of course, this is more than a novel. It's not a story, but this is history. This is God's word. This is God's dealings with his servant. This is God's plan for the gospel. And here we have recorded for us God's overruling in the life of Paul, and God's overruling in the storms and the weather and the sea, and God's overruling in the heart and the life of a Roman cohort, and God's overruling in bringing the gospel to the heart of the empire. And in the midst of this journey, Paul makes this statement of faith to all 275 people who are traveling with him. Including Paul, that makes 276. And this magnificent statement of faith is found in verse 25 of this 27th chapter. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. What a statement to make in the midst of a storm. What a declaration to everyone on board. Take heart, be encouraged, because I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. Take heart, for I have faith in God. I want us to consider this phrase this evening, and we're going to look at it under three headings. Firstly, the circumstances that gave rise to this declaration. The circumstances that gave rise to this declaration. It isn't hard to see that the circumstances are a storm. The boat that these men are in is about to be broken into pieces. They will probably all be lost at sea. Everything seems to be in chaos. Luke was also on this trip, although he wasn't a prisoner. So Paul was probably allowed some friends along. And they're also accompanied by Aristarchus in verse 2, this Christian from Macedonia, from Thessalonica. Paul will describe him in his letter to Colossians as a fellow prisoner. But Luke here gives us some very detailed facts about this trip. We know the exact route that they took. We know the time of year that they sailed. We know what the weather conditions were, the places that they passed by, and the ports that they entered. We know the name of the Roman cohort that was in charge of Paul and the other prisoners. There's lots of details, but most striking of all is the detail of the storm. We have that from verse 13 onwards. The time of year, which was probably late October or early November, was notoriously difficult to for sea voyages because of the poor weather out at sea. But because the pilot of the ship didn't want to harbour at Fair Havens, Luke tells us that he risked heading for Phoenix further along the coast of Crete. But soon the wind picks up. Luke describes it for us as a tempestuous wind. It was called the Euroquilo, or the Northeaster. It was a typhoon-type wind that was created by two winds going in opposite directions to opposite currents of air, meeting together and causing this typhoon. It was a wind that was feared by sailors. And it's this wind that hits the sea and hits the ship. The ship couldn't go straight into the wind, probably because most of these ships had a single mast with one large square sail, and you can't go straight into a wind with that. So they're driven southwards, away from Crete. But the sailors secure the ship. They do it by running ropes underneath the hull and tying then these ropes together. They do that so that the ship won't break into pieces. It's interesting that Luke says, "We manage," in verse 16, concerning the bringing on of the small boat that they towed along behind them. They did it with great difficulty. So even Luke himself puts his hands to the task of pulling on ropes. The ship is seized violently by the storm. They're driven along. And so they throw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. And then they throw out the ship's tackle, anything that they feel will weigh them down, anything that they don't need. Everything that was superfluous is just discarded. Look at verse 20. "Day and night become like one because of the darkness of the storm. The stars, the sun and the moon are all covered." That means that they have no way to navigate. They have no way to know where they're going. And they're being driven along by this wind. The severe storm keeps going, and it's getting worse. So eventually, they have no hope of being saved. Look at the end of verse 20. "All hope of our being saved was at last abandoned." That feeling of no chance of survival, that point of giving up, no solid ground, nothing to hold on to. And it's into this situation, that a hopeless situation, that Paul speaks, and Paul says, "Take heart. For I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I've been told." When the confidence of all others is gone, when they're at breaking point, when all hope seems lost, when it just seems that day and night are exactly the same and there can be no rest, there's no light, no direction, the Christian can say in those circumstances, "Take heart, for I have faith in God." How relevant for us today. There are storms that we face, not just in our own lives, but we get a sense of that from our society, our nation. The storms of liberalism, the dark clouds that cry out for tolerating sin and insanity, the threats and dangers of financial ruin, the sense of hopelessness of our political atmosphere. the fear of terrorism. And what is it that people are saying? What's the feeling of people within our nation? What's the feeling of your work colleagues, your neighbors, your friends, family members? All our hope is being lost. We're being abandoned. Where will our help come from? The whole world just seems to be in a state of chaos. People see their lives breaking up in the storms. They get a sense that society is disintegrating. And yet in the midst of that, in that context, we can say, take heart, for I have faith in God. The circumstances that give rise to this declaration. But then secondly, the assurance that gives rise to this declaration. The assurance that grounds this declaration. Is it just false hope from Paul? There are some people who give false hope. It'll all be all right. Nothing will go wrong. Everything will work out just the way you want it to. That's false hope. And unfortunately, there are certain parts of Christianity, that's Christianity with a small c, that give false hope to people. And they use this tactic to sway people, to get an emotional response from people, or to get people to give money. Pay in this money, and all of your money worries will be gone. They'll go away. Or follow these five easy steps to the new you, and experience the easy life God wants for you. Just in case you think I'm making that up, I actually heard that recently on the radio. The easy life God wants for you. Do these things and you will have an easy life. That's false hope. That's lies. Trying to get an emotional response or receive some financial gain from people for giving this false hope. Is it false hope that Paul is giving? Well, of course not. It isn't. Well, perhaps this is just crazy talk from a prisoner. Maybe Paul just has his head in the clouds. He doesn't realize the seriousness of the situation. Perhaps he isn't thinking rationally. Is this crazy talk from Paul? Well, again, no. Paul isn't crazy. No, Paul's assurance, it comes from somewhere much more concrete and certain. This assurance is grounded in reality, and it's solid assurance. I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. God has told Paul what will happen. Look at verse 21 to 24. I don't know if Paul at the beginning of verse 21 is doing a I told you so speech. I'm not sure, but he says, men, you should have listened to me back in Crete. But now take heart, because this very night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. See, Paul had a word from God. Paul had a messenger from God. Tell him that all will go as has been promised. Paul will reach Rome, and all those who sail with him will get there. The word of God that had come to Paul back in chapter 23, verse 11, it's confirmed to Paul again. The word of Jesus Christ that previously said, take courage, you must testify also in Rome, is the same word that comes to Paul now. The word of God is given, and Paul believes it. And so Paul stands up and he says to all on board this ship that's being thrown about and storm-tossed, he says, God has said, and I believe, I trust, so take heart. See, our assurance for this life, it's grounded in the very same word of God. It's grounded in his truth. And in the midst of storms, we can stand up and say to those around us, I believe the word that God has spoken. This is what he says. So take heart. Now, people might think we're crazy. No doubt some on the ship thought that Paul was crazy. But we have the truth of God's word. And we can stand on its authority. We can take comfort from it and we can give comfort through it. What does God's word say? What promises do we have? What assurances are grounded for us in this truth? Well, one is that the world will never again be destroyed by a flood. That's a promise. That's an assurance from God. Another one is that the world will get worse. There will be wars, rumors of wars. Brother will fight against brother, father against son. But in all of this, God's word tells us that Jesus Christ is king on the throne. That he will subdue peoples underneath his feet. And we know because God's word tells us that Jesus Christ will return again. That he will bring in the new heavens and the new earth. And God's word promises us that Jesus Christ will never leave us or forsake us. He will not abandon or leave his church. The promise is that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have promises and assurances for the future. He promises that he will keep us. He promises that we will persevere. He promises that we will overcome. He promises you that you will be more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And so when the world seems in chaos, when the storms are battering away at our lives or at the lives of others, when everything seems lost, when it seems that all hope is gone and that being saved is being abandoned, we have a sure and a certain promise. We know that God's word is truth. And so we can stand up. And on the grounds of this authority of truth, we can say to people, take heart, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. We say to people, this is what God says in his word. And so this is why I'm not fretting. This is why I'm content. Even in the darkness of the storm, even when the wind is battering my life, I know that I have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for me. And I know that God will fulfill every plan and purpose that he has. I know that nothing happens outside of his control. Take heart. I believe God. I believe his word. We have an assurance in his truth that all things will work together for good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Take heart. Declare, I believe in God, and that everything that he has said will happen. As he has promised. The assurance that grounds this declaration. And then thirdly and finally, the fulfillment of this declaration. The fulfillment of this declaration. Paul has total and complete confidence in the promises of God. But what I want you to notice is that Paul is going through this storm as well. He believed when there was nothing else to believe. Paul's faith isn't a fair weather faith. It would be easy to say, I believe in God that it will be exactly as I've been told if everything was going well for us. That would be easy. But Paul believed when the circumstances were at their worst. And as the storm unfolds, we see it's just as Paul has said. The ship runs aground. It starts to break up. The soldiers want to kill the prisoners so that they don't escape. But God has been overruling in the life of the Roman cohort, Julius. And he wants to spare Paul's life. So he stops the soldiers from acting. And they all jump into the water. And they either swim to the beach that they can see, or some hold on to planks of wood and bits of the ship. And so all are brought safely to land. Look at the end of verse 44. All were brought safely to land. Everyone survived, just as God had said. See, God is overruling in every circumstance. God is overruling in every detail. And God, in his sovereign timing, brought all of these events together for the saving of 276 lives out at sea. Now, they still had to go through the storm. They still had to endure the danger, the threat, the wind, the cold water, the waves crashing over their heads. They still had to lose everything. But they escaped with their lives. God's promises don't mean that we will miss the storm. God's promises don't mean that we won't have to face the crashing waves. God's promises don't mean that we won't lose some or all earthly possessions. But God's promises never fail. And God does bring his people safely to shore. He will not lose a single one of his children. And God, in his time, in his perfect time, will fulfill every one of his promises, because his word never fails. We know this, but perhaps we just need reminded of it again. We should have total and complete confidence in the promises of God and in his perfect timing. Our God is sovereign, and he controls all things. He is Lord of all things, and his timing is perfect. So what should we learn from this? Well, firstly, for ourselves, do we believe this to be true? In the midst of the storms, remind yourself, take heart, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as he has said. Let this truth comfort you and strengthen you and encourage you. In God's timing, it doesn't mean that we won't face the shipwrecks, the storms. It doesn't mean that we won't lose everything materialistically, physically here on earth. God's timing is perfect. God's plan might be to bring us through even the very worst of storms. It might seem like there is no daytime because of the darkness that surrounds our minds, because of the clouds that are there, because of the struggles that we face. But God fulfills his promises, and he does so in his time. There is an eternal inheritance kept in heaven for you. God will bring his people safely into the new heavens and the new earth. That promise is ours in Christ. And God will uphold us through the storm and comfort us in the storm and strengthen us in the storm. They are promises for us in Christ. God's timing. God's promises. Take heart. I have faith in God that it will be exactly as he has said. But then secondly, we should learn that our witnessing may strengthen others. These men took heart from what Paul was saying. They could have thought he was crazy. Perhaps some did. But some didn't. And so they listened. They acted accordingly, and so their lives were saved. If we stand up and declare that we believe in God and that his word is true, perhaps God in his grace may give strength to another person. He may bring comfort to someone whose life is buffeted by the waves and the storm. And in his grace, God can safely bring that person to salvation. Our witnessing, like Paul, declaring in the storm, "Take heart, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told." They're perhaps the words that someone needs to hear. A work colleague, family member, a friend and neighbor, someone that you spend time with socially, someone you play sport with. We're not giving false hope. We're not saying to them all things will work out exactly as they hope, that life will be easy. That's not Paul's declaration. But to say to someone, this is what God says about our spiritual life. This is God's way of saving. This is the truth of his word. And I have faith. I believe that what God says is true. Let me tell you what God says. Let me share with you my experiences of the storms. Let me share with you my hope of reaching a heavenly shore. And your witnessing, your declaration, like Paul on that ship, could be used to strengthen someone, another believer. Or it could be used by God to bring someone to faith. Friends, these are words that can bring change, that can bring comfort, that can bring encouragement. They are words that bring true hope and assurance. And so surely they are words that we should use more and more in the day in which we live. There are people all around us who are giving up hope, who feel that all hope is being abandoned. What do they need to hear? Take heart, for I have faith in God that what he says will happen exactly as he has said it, in his time, in his way. Let me tell you about that. Amen.